It's a Thanksgiving week tradition. It is time for the one and only Survivor Series. We have a stacked card with two War Games matches. We also have John Cena wrestling in one of his last two matches ever against Dirty Dom Mysterio. And we have a women's title match, too. We'll give our predictions on Saturday's event. In the NFL, Shedeur Sanders won his first NFL game. Is this the start that we've been waiting for? And lastly, the NBA Cup games are wrapping up the group stage games, and I was there for one of them. We'll discuss all of this and more on the new No Words Barred podcast. Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to a new episode of No Words Barred podcast. I'm your host, Mo, joined by my man, Chris Mack, down in ATL. What's happening, bro? You excited for this week?
Hey, man. Yeah, it's good, man. I'm going to get my bags back because me and the missus were heading out to see my mother-in-law over in Mississippi for Thanksgiving dinner. So,
nice.
Yeah, so this should be a fun time. I'm really looking forward to driving a trip and finally going to a Buc-ee's. so I can have the brisket sandwich. You know, I need to see what the hype's all about there. But yeah, right. I'm good, man. You know, I haven't watched that much NFL football this season, but the Cowboys got it done, beat the Eagles. And comeback. Dak Prescott putting on NFC East MVP performance, walking them down 21 and, you know, getting to victory. I mean, this is a satisfying season. If we know that our Super Bowl hopes are dashed, we at least got something out of it. 3-1 record in the division. Hopefully, you know, we could win out, you know, and go in 5-1. And possibly get an upset victory this week against Kansas City. I mean, anything is possible at this point. I think the team now, I think we haven't spoke since, you know, the devastating loss that the Cowboys have had, you know, excuse me. I think at this point, you know, I think they're just galvanizing themselves at this moment.
Yeah.
You know, in the wake of Marshawn Neal and stuff. And, you know, they're playing free. I mean, you know, it looked like that against Vegas. I mean, granted, you know, the Raiders are bad, as you can see with Shedeur Sanders walking on them this past Sunday. But just the fact that they could have easily gave up going down 21-0 and – they just persevered, and I don't know if I should look too much into that, but that is something to take notice of as the team plays out the rest of the season. I mean, if this really becomes something real and, you know, Dallas can, you know, win out the season and win out the division and possibly get, you know, a wild card bid, that would be amazing. But, you know, it's not too much of a, you know, like of a fairy tale. You know, the reality is, you know, this team has ebbs and flows, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is, you know, the time they're just going to be, you know, playing without a care in the world and trying to just, you know, put themselves out on the field every week.
Yeah. I mean, Dak had a pretty, from what I remember watch or reading, the other day, it could have been on Saturday or early Sunday morning. I mean, Dak has a pretty damn good record at division games, especially at home. So, you know, it's not all too surprising that y'all came back, but it's still, I mean, it's the Eagles. We know how, you know, they're still the defending champs, and they're still the cream of the crop of the division. And I suppose the NFC conference, but you know, them losing that game, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal for them, but for y'all to come back and win that game, man, like I know right now that the road isn't like really all that green in order for you guys to get to play any meaningful postseason games. You know, but as you said, you know, for you, you know, you can sweep the rest of the division games, rest of the season. Yeah. You know, you'll be pretty content with that.
We have the best. I mean, at worst, we could, you know, go 8-8-1. You know, we go 3-3. which I highly expect the rest to probably be, you know, go 9-7-1, and it probably try to get that wild card bid. But I mean, again, the Kansas City game. You know, if they manage to pull something off against Kansas City, then I know that there's something real happening, and you know they're probably trying to get something going. They're going to at least try to fight their way into the playoffs.
yeah. I mean, listen, one of the things that I will say that, and I can only say this because I have him on my fantasy league team, you know, Pickens has showed up. He's shown up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, CD's having a couple of, you know, rough moments there. Yeah. But, yeah, Pickens there. That's why I said, hey, as we said, you know, your Giants, man, you might have to go for a wide out too, because, you know, someone's going to have to cover the other's ass, man, when they're not producing. And, you know, and George made it was great, phenomenal in the game against Philly. As he has been since, you know, Lamb's been out with injury.
Yeah.
So for that, you know, they're playing with nothing to lose. So, and yeah. I'm only expecting them to just do their best.
Yeah.
For here on out.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with us. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm glad that we fired our coaches. And I know it's sad. It's crazy to say, oh, you're glad you fired. No, we needed to fire Dable and Bowens. We needed to get rid of them because, I mean, we had another one of those games where we had it late and we gave it up. And that's like the sixth or seventh game we've done that this season where, you know, we have a lead late in the fourth. And or mid fourth, or if we having like a multiple touchdown lead in the fourth, and we wind up just giving that up, and that's all on the defensive coordinator. So rightfully so, Shane Bowen deserved to get fired. I've been calling for him to get fired for the past like feel like 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, actually, I've been calling for him to get fired after that game that we lost to y'all, that overtime game early in the season.
Yeah, and he stuck around for the Denver game too.
Yeah, and he stuck around for more games. And it just, it's just a fucking mess. And we didn't fire the GM. The GM is still there. I mean, how are you going to fire the coach and the defensive coordinator and the GM is still staying there? Like, I don't know. The Giants, they have a little bit of, they don't like the optics. They don't want the optics to be like, oh man, like the Giants out of all the team, they're going through all this turmoil, this turnaround with coaching and stuff like that. But I don't know. I have my feelings and opinion on it. I'm not going to spend.
No front office wants to hold accountability.
No, of course not. But they are by far the fucking. I'm sorry to say that, but they're the worst. They're the worst right now. And I know there's other teams and managements that have it worse. But the obviously the standard that the Giants, it's the New York Giants. You know, the standards are higher. And it's like how we are with the Yankees in New York. Standards are higher with certain teams. So it is what it is. Not going to waste any more breath on that. But one thing you did mention in passing, as you said, Cleveland Browns, Las Vegas Raiders, Shedeur Sanders. He's here.
Yeah, man.
Shedeur Sanders is here.
Arm, bro.
Yeah, he's here, man. So he got his first NFL win. And of course that prime time was there to see it all. Of course, man, what did you think about his, what do you think about his performance from what you've seen or
I've seen, I mean, he finally had a week of, you know, of practice time to get himself prepared for that moment. And it was night and day from how he looked against Baltimore. I mean, seriously, Great, again, you know, if you want to get some numbers up in the AFC, you're, you know, go up against the Raiders. And yeah, you're going to get that. And he managed, you know, to go up against, you know, a bad team. But, I mean, Cleveland is also bad. And also they have Myles Garrett looking to break records, you know, for the team. And I think they're going to just in a different aspect from what Dallas is. If Shador is going to be starting for them going forward, they're going to try to be the most entertaining product on the field.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
On you know, for most weeks. And I think that's what they're going to try to do, just play some exciting football on both ends. And yeah. Again, this probably is some galvanizing Miles, you know, to even go harder than he normally does, and just to, you know, make sure that the QB can shine. If, you know, you're able to continue on with this momentum, and, you know, hopefully, you know, Shador can get a couple more starts and, you know, keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm hoping the best for the kid, man. I really am. And, you know, there are people out there that didn't like his post-game on the field interview. And to those people that have an issue with it, who gives a shit about what y'all think?
We need that type of confidence out there for players, not just in the NFL, in any sport, you know. See, like, if you're the best doing it, say that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. You know, I want to hear that you want, you know, want to go out there and kill, you know, every time you step out there on the floor or on the field or on the court, and that no one else can touch you, you know, because you need that, you know, and it's even better when you back it up.
Yes.
And I believe Shador, he has the talent capable of doing that more times than not, you know, and just hopefully, you know, the Browns coach staff give him a chance and, you know, let him work.
That's it.
Be able to build a bond with his teammates going forward for the rest of the season, you know.
Right.
They got to see what they could with Dylan Gabriel. You know, that Shador get a little bit of a run, you know.
That's right. Yeah, man. You know, it's they can do it, man. It's the Cleveland Browns. What do they got to lose? More games, I know, but.
Yeah, more games.
But outside of that, though, I mean, with Shador as quarterback, man, like, nah, man, let him. I mean, they said that he's their starting quarterback going forward. And I hope they stay true to that. And I hope Shador is, you know, on also at the same time. And not that I have any doubts that he would, but now, like, you're giving the reins, bro. They've given you the reins to the offense.
I mean, if he start, it's a nice collection of opponents that he'll be able to face. You know, got the Niners this weekend, the Titans, Bears. Bills.
Titans is another one he may get some big numbers against, the Titans.
The Steelers and the Browns. I mean, the Bengals, I mean, say. That's the last one. I mean, I really would like to see how he will fare against the tougher defenses in the league. If he can hold his own, that would be good. That would be a good sample size.
It would be.
But he probably got another couple of really good games in him in some last stretch of games here.
Yeah, man. You know, but we'll see. We're going to see how this all turns out, man, you know, for him. We wish him the best. We hope the kid, he does, you know, great things over there in Cleveland and for the rest of the season, man. I know there's Thanksgiving games, you know, happen this week, too. As always, those are always good games to watch or fall asleep to, depending on how full you are. You know, so I don't think there's much to say about that. We just got to see how, you know, just stuff just turns out. Obviously, with your Cowboys, see how things turn out with KC, you know, this Thursday. And, you know, and for the rest of the stuff, you know, NFL, there ain't really anything else notable to even discuss or talk about. So I think, you know, with that being said, let's switch over to NBA, man. You also mentioned it how – I know your Wizards are playing right now against Atlanta, and correct me if I'm wrong. You told me CJ McCollum dropped 42, or is it more? At the time, it was 42. I don't know.
48, I believe.
But now it's 48. Now, oh shit!
I think it's 48 now. I wanted him to get his 50 ball. I don't think it's going to happen because it's now 30 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
But listen, two things happen here. We snapped our 14 game losing streak, which is like. I'm glad that we managed to get our second win season. And now we've officially been the last team to win an NBA Cup game. So every team in the NBA has now won the NBA Cup game.
Yeah.
We knocked out two things here. Could be prouder. Real good performance. Real good performance here. Just excuse me, Rory. That I'm like, you know, our veterans really, you know, produced here. Corey Kispert was 4 for 4 from three in the first quarter. Just destroyed. We had a 45-point quarter. Could have had a 50-point one. That's how hot we were in the first quarter. That's what built that lead, and we managed to, you know, keep it on them for duration of the game. Again, you know, CJ McCollum could miss as well. He was excellent. And Chris Middleton had one of his better performances this season. Managed to have 12 assists, 7 rebounds. You know, he wasn't really shooting much, but he was really good at moving the offense. Big win. We should have had 3 more along with it this season.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I'll take it when we get them. Again, we cannot lose games where our veterans are really bringing the goods, you know, and, you know, going in. Alex Sarr was phenomenal again. He's been our best player this season. I know folks are, like, happy with, like, the development of Wemby. He is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
But y'all got to pay attention to Alex Sarr. Yeah. Those two are going to be rampaging in international play for France. Like, this is going to be one of the most formidable, dangerous front courts you'll see. And, you know, if we might, you know, if we are not, you know, focused in 2028, they might beat the shit out of us, bro. With those two, I'm telling you. Yeah. Sarr is incredible. He's taking a major leap here. Not only with playmaking, his shooting, his scoring, touch has been great. He's averaging 18 a game, 10 rebounds. His blocks, he's right up there with Wembanyama in blocks. I think average is 2.5 now. We got something here with Washington. We just need that point guard now. We just need a point guard. After watching what we've seen, you know, CJ, he's not there for the future. He's not there for long haul. We're probably gonna move on from February. But there's two ways we can make that happen. Obviously through the draft. Going to use that pick for a point guard, or I'm hearing rumblings. It's very possible that we could get one in free agency. If we really want to make that leap in competing, we might go and do that to build around the young core. And ironically, that person is also playing with a French center that's currently injured right now, but he's still cooking in his absence, and that's De'Aaron Fox.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm like, if they can make that happen in off season, yeah.
Hey, gotta wait and see, man. But
wait and see because I don't think Brian Keefe is long for this season. I think we're going to play running with them this year, but there's going to be some serious changes happening with the coaching personnel and how we're going to restructure the roster going into next year, because it's time to put up or shut up with Will Dawkins.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but, I mean, at the end of the day, though, the Wizards are going to be the Wizards.
Oh, yeah, oh, most definitely.
The Wizards are going to be the Wizards. But, you know, if there is something you could work with, I mean, you look at all the other teams, how they built. You look at Detroit, right, in the East.
Yeah,
you know, they're crazy. I mean, it's no shocker, really.
And they had to lose a lot to get there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they do. Did have to lose a lot for that. But where they're at now, man, like that's great. I mean, last season we saw how they were.
Fantastic, man.
You know, right. And then they gave the Knicks a run for their money in that first round. You know, I always argued, I'm like, if anything, Detroit toughened up the Knicks in that playoffs in order to prepare them going forward.
Because
that was like an old school first round game between those two.
Yeah.
But you know, Detroit killing it. East.
If they hold up to the All-Star break performing like this, Where will we see Cade Cunningham in the MVP voters? He's going to be in there. I just don't know if he's going to be in the top three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, he can be like put out there consideration just talk, but
yeah, it's going to suck because you know Detroit could like definitely they could have either they could finish the season like in the first seed or maybe the first or third seed. You know,
yeah,
and you know it really that finish is pretty much just going to be the indicator of where he's going to be placed in the MVP voting because I think everyone's made up their mind that Shea, Jokic, and Luka are going to be in that top three spot.
Yeah,
and Giannis too for four.
Yeah, I agree to that, man. You know, you did mention, and I don't want to lose focus here. What we wanted to touch on, you did mention that you know the NBA Cup. You know, we're the group stage is you know wrapping up. I think last Friday was like the most recent, you know, day that, you know, the whole schedule was dedicated to NBA Cup games. And speaking of that, I was lucky enough to go to one of those games over in San Francisco. Last Friday, I was at the Warriors and Trailblazers game over at Shea Center, which is a beautiful, beautiful arena. I have nothing bad to say about it. I mean, it falls in line with, you know, a lot of the more modern, newer arenas that's been built, you know, very recently, whatever, X amount of years. But part of me does wish that, man, like, I would have loved to have seen a game at the old Oracle Arena.
Same, man.
You know, I wish they were in a way. I wish they were still there. I would have loved to see that, but that's not to say anything bad about Chase Center. But given that, you know, the game was at Chase Center, it is where the Warriors play at now. Like I said, I enjoyed myself at that game. It was a good game. It was a good game between the Warriors and Trailblazers. But I gotta tell you, man, the Warriors, man, they're gonna have trouble against teams that have height, guys, especially in the second position. Because they could not contain Klingon at all on Friday. They couldn't contain him at all. He was just killing them in the middle. And they didn't have anybody. I mean, Al Horford is that's a joke. Like him defend anything, he's not defending anything. Not at his age. And you know, he had his couple of threes or whatever. But other than that, you know, what he wasn't really noticeable. Caleb Love was the guy that, I mean, everybody knows about Steph Curry, you know, focus on him, but Caleb Love, man, that dude was bald. Golden State had no answer for him. They had no answer for him at all, man.
I don't know what Portland's cooking up over there, dog, but they pretty much have some talent in the wings.
Man.
We haven't even seen Scoop yet.
That's right.
He's still got to recover from his injury, and yeah, they're still looking good, man. And, through it all, like, you know, and he's like, because you never know who's really going to be out there scoring 30 for them, but they're a good team. They're pretty good.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, off the bench, Caleb, and it's funny because he played 38 minutes. But finished with 26 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 6. But this is the reason why too he was killing them. Golden State couldn't defend the perimeter, I feel like, for shit. Because Caleb was 6-for-14 from 3-point arc. Kamara was 4-for-6. You know, the only other person that was really making threes like that was, those were the main guys, man. I mean, overall, Kamara put in 20. Like I said, Klingon put in 22. I mean, they have a formidable, it's a nice little squad that they got there in Portland. They got a nice little squad there. And we still got to wait to see when he gets healthy, Dame Lillard, I know it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. I think next year.
Yeah, right? Next season. Well, I mean, they're going to be a playoff team for sure next season.
Yeah.
Even with Dame at 80, 85%. Like the rest of the guys can get it done.
Right. So, you know, they got something to work with there for sure. On Golden State side, listen, I may not ever be able to see LeBron live. There's a lot of players that I missed out, GOATs, over the years that I never got to see live in their prime, never got to see Jordan in his prime, never got to see Kobe in his prime. Like I said, LeBron, never got to see LeBron, but I can at least say that I finally saw Steph Curry. And
yeah, still, man.
And Steph did not disappoint, man. It's ridiculous how, like, it's one thing to watch it on TV, what he does. But when you are live at the game, there is no doubt about it. Your eyes is focused on him on the court the whole time. And
yeah,
and from the seats that I had pretty good seats and beautiful sight line. Great sight lines, by the way, over at Chase Center. And from where I was sitting at, man, as I'm watching, and it's cool because I'm also watching how the play unfolds. And, you know, me, I look at just the, you know, the defense, you know, how the defense is set up and how all the moving parts that's happening all at, you know, in real time. But in the midst of all that, man, it, like I said, Steph Curry, man, it's amazing how everybody knows what the MO is with Steph Curry. He's going to run you in circles on the court.
In order for him
to get that free shot. And even the times where he didn't get a complete free shot, man, like, or open shot, it's just amazing how he shoots the ball and your expectation is that the ball, like, he's going to make the shot. Every time you think he's going to make the shot. And I was lucky enough to record a couple of, you know, of him making a couple of shots, man, crazy shots. And like I said, to watch him do it live, it's amazing, man. It's a sight to see. Draymond is Draymond. You know, he's, like I said, his regular self. The ugliest looking shot, though. Never really noticed it on TV. But watching it live, I had to laugh. I laughed. I was like, what kind of shot is that, bro? Mm-hmm. but overall, though, like I said, it was a good game. They honored the 74-75 because it's the 50th anniversary of the 74-75 Warriors team. Rick Barry on there, one of the more noticeable players on that team. And it's just a beautiful, it's a nice experience, man, to see a game live there. I would definitely recommend anybody, if you're able to, mm-hmm. If you happen to travel to the San Francisco area and the Warriors that happen to play a home game, you know, go see it, man. You enjoy yourself. For me, I was a neutral fan. I had no investment to either one teams. So it was nice to see, man. But definitely the NBA Cup, man, is definitely in full blown motion, man. I'm trying to see if there's okay, the NBA Cup. Let me look at the standings right now. So for Group A, Toronto looks like they got it. They got that.
They're the first team to go into the knockout stage. Yeah.
Detroit and Orlando, they're both 2-0 in their group. Unfortunately for us, we're 1-2, and they're Milwaukee again. Milwaukee again, because then they won last year. Milwaukee,
They won last year,
right?
They won last year, and tonight also, as we're recording, the Clippers and Lakers are battling for the knockout spot as well. They're both 2-0, so it's a must win game.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to James Harden for his
yes.
Crazy. What was it, 55 he got the other night?
55, yes. He broke the all-time single-season record. At this point, circumstances aside, ever since he's came into the fold for the Clippers, like, James Harden has been they're essentially their best player. I'll say, you know, better than what Kawhi has done so far in their tenure. And, you know, I've already considered him already in, like, as all-time Clippers already, you know, and it is 2.5 seasons, or going to be 2.5 seasons, hopefully. He's already in like top five.
Yeah.
I probably use hyperbole when, you know, I would say he was the best Clipper that they have, period. But, you know, it's definitely the best Clipper that they have since the Lob City years of Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. Chris Paul especially. I could still see Harden being a number two behind him. Only due to the fact that while the Clippers had sustained success during Paul's tenure there, I don't think the Clippers just went to the conference finals at all.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that they share. So,
yeah.
For Harden, I just feel like he embodies the city of Los Angeles, you know, him being a Compton native, as much as he did Houston. And I think, you know, I think he just has that type of magnetism too, as the dude being the talisman, you know, the heliocentric player that, you know, he could, like, the city can revolve around him.
Yeah.
But it just feels as real here with, you know, being in his hometown, doing this and carrying such a old squad that is just rough to watch at times.
Yeah.
But when he's on, man. And he's still a show just like Steph Curry is. And it's really dope seeing like the last of this current generation of, you know, LeBron, KD, Steph, you know, and Harden, and to like still be able to produce Jimmy too, be able to produce at such a high level. As they get older, Russell as well, you know, and, you know, I feel like tonight's game, or, you know, for the game tonight for the Lakers and Clippers, I feel it's going to be one of those ones.
Yeah.
Just seeing the old guys go in.
Right. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I mean, out of Lakers and Clippers, I mean, I don't know. Let me check to see who's winning.
The game is in like a couple hours.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought
But I mean, the winner is going into the knockout stage. So this is big game here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, and LeBron is back, right? Too.
Yes, he's going to be his third game back.
Okay.
So, and they're practically at full strength at this point. So yeah.
Well, they have no excuse to not lose then.
I know.
It's simple as that. Yeah, I know. You talked there was they're like you said, they're both 2-0. And in the West, the last group C, Portland and Denver, they're both 2-1. So they're at the top. So it's matter one of those teams winning. So yeah, man. I mean, before we get off of me, because we do want to talk about the main thing this episode. What's your gut feeling, man? What do you think is gonna happen? As far as the teams that haven't qualified yet, which one of the teams out of these teams, man, which team do you think is going to go far, man?
Right now, you know, what I saw, still got OKC probably making it to the final. I think it's just going to be tough for them to lose at all at this stage. Like, they have one more game coming up here in the Cup. Facing Minnesota, and man, they got Minnesota and Phoenix coming up, because I forgot the Cup games are also on Wednesday. So, you know, they win those. You know, I mean, they're for sure going into the knockout stage, and practically I got them going to the final as well.
Okay,
without question. For the East, you know, might as well just stick with the riding the high hand. Probably get Detroit, you know, a look as well. You know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm right on board with that. I would not mind a Detroit and OKC final in the NBA Cup. Mean,
yeah. I want to see where Miami. I think Miami, they still got a chance.
Miami's 2-1. Yeah, they're 2-1. Yeah.
So they still have a chance as well. They played Milwaukee for the Wednesday game, and that'll be their last one. So if they win that, they should have a chance of getting into the knockout stage, but you know, it all depends on what Milwaukee does in their final game as well.
That's true.
So essentially, it's a must win for Miami and Milwaukee there.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued who's going out of those two. I'm intrigued.
And Giannis might be back for that too. So
yeah, I know. There's always that Giannis factor. There was always that Giannis factor. So it should be exciting games, man. It should be exciting games for that next round. So, but like I said, my main, like you said, my gut feeling tells me, or at least what I would like to see, I would like to see Detroit and OKC. I'll be fine with
me
that.
Me too. That'd be dope.
Yeah, you know. I will put out a dark horse, though, if that does not happen. I can see Milwaukee being in the finals again for the NBA Cup. I could see it happening. Uh-huh. My consolation matchup is Milwaukee against Denver. If Denver wins the next game. If Denver wins,
they versus Giannis? Yeah.
I would.
I mean, that Denver group, it's just a group of death, man. Like, come on, bro. Like, Portland, Houston, San Antonio, Golden State, and Denver. I'm like, it's every tough. One of them games has been fire. You know, unfortunately, Wimby's going to be out for the last two games for San Antonio. But man, like for what I saw within that group, they'd be going in.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to see how this turns out. Yeah, man. But as we transition here into the main topic at hand that is going on and what we want to talk about in this episode is this Saturday. It is the, as I said in the beginning, the Thanksgiving week tradition for typically. Mm-hmm. I want to put an asterisk, typically the Thanksgiving week tradition, because there's been times they've had it before. For Survivor Series, man. And the build-up for Survivor Series, I'm not mad at it. I'm okay with it. I think it's, like I said, it's a stack. The two War Games matches are stacked. It's as CM Punk eloquently put it on Monday, or last night, should I say. It's the all-star.
All-star teams.
It's all-star teams. The men and women. Mm-hmm. You know, and we also have the added, like I said, the match, John Cena, Dominic Mysterio, he wants his IC title back. And since it is going to be in San Diego, I'm intrigued to see how the setup is over in San Diego at the Petco Park. I know they already put the War Game pages up. But I'm intrigued to see what the set is going to look like, the stage and stuff for this. I'm excited about this.
Like there?
Say that again.
Oh, I was just checking to see what the weather is going to be like. It's going to be like 70 degrees, 66 degrees this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That should be nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a far cry from when I was in San Francisco and it was like 60. It felt like I was in Richmond. But of course, San Diego is more southern. Uh-huh. That's Southern California, more southern and down the state. So I get it. I'm excited about this event, man. I really am. I'm typically excited about the Survivor Series. It's of course, it's always one the Big Four, you know, any of the Big Four shows. I'm a little bit more hyped about. But this one is like I said, not a lot of matches, and obviously because of the two War Game matches happening. And like I said, you had John Cena and Dom, and then you have Stephanie Vaquer against Nikki Bella, which, you know, I think a lot of people could have saw that turn from her a mile away.
Stephanie's going to have her work cut out for her, man.
Hey, man, listen, she's fighting. Depending on what your opinion is of the Bella twins, not you,
I mean, in general.
It's still a big thing. It's still a big time match for Steph.
It's a big time. I mean, she's going to have another accolade in beating a Hall of Famer. Which, you know, they're just going to keep piling on the accolades for Stephanie, leading to maybe potentially her biggest match for WrestleMania. I don't know who it'll be against, but it's likely going to be against one of the two of either Becky or Rhea. You know, gotta put accolades upon accolades with each other. So.
Yeah.
And Nikki, you know, she's been fine for her return run, but Yo, she's just a step slow from this new generation, man. And we see it on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
She's going to try her hardest. You know, she's going to try to put her working boots on, too. So hopefully, you know, you get something serviceable there.
I think it's going to be a – I think the match is going to be a fine match between those two. I really do. I think it's – listen, was I ever on the Bella Train fan club when they were active and then the peak? No. I was not a big Bella Twins fan. But at the same time, you know, I do respect them for what they did in the ring during that time. You know, as WWE was shifting away from kind of still the raunchy shit from the previous era. Well, I want to say eras because even that Ruthless Aggression era had some questionable moments. But, you know, as you said, given that, you know, this is a different era now, Nikki, yeah, she's a little bit slower and, you know, catching up, and it's not surprising, but she could still get a good match, a respectable match out of her, I think at this point for her. And I joked the other day, you know, right now, if you are a former WWE diva or whatever the case may be, you know, or had a place in the women's division at any point in the past, let's say 20 years, now is your time to bank in and call WWE up to see. And if you are, and if you are able to, you know, to withstand a couple of matches or whatever, now is the time to cash in if you're one of those women. Because I don't think it's not going to end. And we've seen it. We've seen Trish come back. We've seen Lita had her run a couple of years ago. You know, Mickey James. You know, yeah. Even though Mickey was a different situation because she was still active. She was doing the TNA stuff. So she never really stopped. It's just that she just wasn't showing up in WWE television. You know, until whatever, she came back. And she's always a candidate now. Obviously, she's part of the LFG show. And she's always a candidate to show up once in a while because of Nick Aldis. So you can never rule her out, you know, if that was something. But like I said, with Nikki Bella, she's going to put up a good effort. But, yeah, it is Stephanie's. It's Stephanie's title. It's her world, man.
Yeah, most definitely, man.
It's her world. Yeah. All the other women in the division, they're just in it, man. However, after this, though, for her, I do wonder what her next challenge is going to be. Stephanie Vaquer, on Raw side, and they have a bevy of options there, but there's a couple that's, I mean, Bailey is in her little, she's in the program with Lyra still, as they figure, I guess they're an official tag team now. I guess. And, you know, we know the Kabuki Warriors, they're the tag team champions. I know they're going to be involved in the women's War Games match, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. You know, and a lot of these women, man, like especially the Raw's, I mean, obviously the Raw women's division, it's miles ahead over SmackDown right now. So the challengers that Stephanie has, I mean, it's going to be a who's who of that. But also, I want to point out with the women's division, and shout out to Maxine Dupri.
Yeah.
Shout out to her, man. New IC champion. Did it in Madison Square Garden. Beat Becky Lynch. I know AJ Lee came out, but Becky, yeah. I mean, but
hard work pays off, man.
Hard work pays off, and kudos to Becky. Becky just Becky's been awesome.
She tries her damnedest to put everyone over, dog.
Yes.
Make sure she elevates the women's division and in the best way possible. Her and Bailey.
Yes. And so I nothing but great things about Becky, but Maxine Dupri, man, it's kind of, I will admit though, and I will say, I did enjoy their match. I enjoyed their match from, you know, last week, but I kind of did enjoy their match, the previous match that they had more.
The first match was definitely their best.
Yeah, right. Like I felt like that was, and that's not to say anything wrong about the match that she had to win the title when she won the title, but I just have it. I just enjoyed those other matches more for me. But Maxine's been putting in the work, man. She's been putting in the work, and you know what this reminds me of with Maxine, because it reminds me how some of the divas back then, how you know they really wasn't, you know, they really wasn't a. Should I say, the wrestling side of it wasn't polished.
Yeah.
Should I say, the transition from being all, you know, bras and panties and all that shit to actually wrestling, and I know there were some that didn't really totally get it, but the ones that do, man, like that's what this reminds me of with Maxine, man, like coming in as you know. She was, what was it, the Maxim Models or something like that with her and LA Knight. You know, when they first appeared, because they first came in on SmackDown, right, after they got from NXT. I think they debuted on SmackDown.
Yeah, they were on SmackDown.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, and to see her progression and then being part of Alpha Academy, she just seems like one of those typical wrestlers. Like, she wanted to get better at the craft. She didn't want to be pigeonholed just as a manager or anything that stuff. And she put in the work, and she's rewarded for that. And she's a great underdog, a person. Like, you just cheer for her because she's the underdog. And I know this has nothing to do with Survivor Series with her, but while we are on the topic of the women's division, though, she's going to have a bevy of challengers coming up for that title. And I'm very intrigued to see how that route goes, how that goes with that. You know, you have, what's her face? You got Ivy Nile.
Yeah, Ivy Nile came back from hiding.
Yeah.
The moment Maxine won the title. So we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it looks like, they're going to also, Roxanne and Raquel are also going to be around there as well. But
go ahead.
It's a good test for Maxine to be able to get more reps and, have a different variety of opponents to see how she could fare, you know, in the deep waters at this point.
Right. But I would not rule out Natalya trying to face her. Natalya is always there. Natalya is always going to be there. but her against Natalya, but I mean, listen, we know about Natalya. Like, she's awesome. Overall, and the fact that she's still here and you know, active wrestling, like it's amazing. So Maxine is not gonna have, she's gonna have her share of challengers. Now, we don't know if her share of challengers may come from one of the wrestlers in the War Games match for the women's. You know, we don't know. We know that remains to be seen. But While I'm on the topic of that, I might as well talk about that match, the War Games match for the women, which will consist of the team of Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, and AJ Lee going against the newly formed Nia Jax and Lash Legend combo team as they team up with the Kabuki Warriors and the said Becky Lynch. What's your feeling about this match, man? What do you think? What do you think, man? You think about this? How is it going to go?
Oh, this match is going to be great, chaotic. Hopefully, with a better start than last year's. I really feel like it should have.
Yeah.
This is where I'm like, they should just have Charlotte and Becky in. That's the first two, right. Because you know they normally go by the cliche of having either Charlotte or Becky or Io and Asuka as like the first two. To just really get like a heated, you know, fast paced start to the match. And then, you know, hopefully you can bring in Nia and Lash like somewhere in the middle. I won't be surprised if Becky is the last one in the chain because she just wants everyone else to do the work for her and she'll take credit.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That is right up her style.
And then, you know, but yeah, I mean, they're going to be doing some crazy shit. As most of these matches are, EO is definitely going to do
or the trash
famous trash can spot. Yes. I don't know if she's going to do a crossbody or a moonsault.
Who knows?
Or front flip this time around. But, you know, there's definitely going to be some moments where someone's going to look like they got concussed. And you could ask but for more in a match like this. I see AJ probably going to be in there for like 3-5 minutes until the finish.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't see her doing a whole lot. I can say the same for Becky too, but I think Becky's always down to do some crazy leg drop spot from the top rope. So we're going to get some high spots here for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. I gotta say, man, all those women in that match, I Lash Legend impresses me, man. Lash Legend she just looks like she just fits. She just perfectly fits on the main roster, man. And her teaming up with Nia Jax, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I wouldn't be shocked at some point that they try to challenge the tag team champions, the women's tag team champions. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised at all. I think you could work something with that, with those two. I think it's great for Nia. Mm-hmm. And I obviously think it's great for Lash, like that team up. But Lash be out there looking like money. Looking like money. Oh, every time, man. I love to see it. God, I love to see it, man. We've been waiting for this moment for how long? You know, her to be called up and be part of the main roster. Now that she's there. Oh, man. And I think the excitement is also because the possibilities are endless, man. What they can do, how they could book her. She just has that look, that side. Like, she just has that look, man. And I don't know if it's one of those things that's inevitable. I guess it's inevitable sometime in the future, way, way in the future. I'm intrigued to see what happens if a match between Lash and Jade Cargill. I would be.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be saving that down the line.
I would definitely be intrigued about that, like how that match would go. There's a lot of future matches with Lash in there that you could think of that on paper you would think that it looks good and go good. But the women's, man, as you said, outside of all the stuff that you said, man, as far as what to expect, I don't know, man. I would say, who is going to be the MVP of this match? Who do you think is going to be the one that, and when this match is done, everybody's going to talk about that particular person's performance in this match? I know you talked about
Say it's going to be Lash.
Lash? Okay. I mean,
I think this match is definitely going to be centered around making her look as strong as possible.
Yeah.
So she's going to be getting a lot of those big power spots. And probably doing one big, huge spot as well, getting someone through a table. It's going to be Lash. You know, we already know what to expect from, you know, EO, Rhea, and the like. You know, they're going to be great. We know what they're going to do. We've seen their tape on War Games. But Lash, that's the one that we got to focus on because she's definitely going to be made to look to be a big star and look like $1 million in this match.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So, the $1 million question. Who wins this match? I have a feeling I think the good guys win. Rhea, EO, and Alexa, Charlotte, and AJ. I think they win this match. Uh-huh. You know,
that babyface team's gonna win.
Yeah. Yeah. They got it. I just feel like they gotta win that match. It makes the most sense. The other match that we have on hand is Intercontinental Championship, one of the last two remaining matches that John Cena has as an active wrestler. And he had recently won the title in Boston from Dominic Mysterio, which, come on, man. Anybody, when they saw Dominic come out, man, it's Cena in Boston. That's like, come on.
Yeah.
You're not winning against Cena in Boston. You're just not. At least not in this case. Not in this case.
I feel like I think Dom's getting the title back.
I think so too, man. I think so because I can't imagine.
San Diego too? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. And also, it's because I can't imagine when Gunther, when he wins that tournament to face John Cena, I cannot imagine that being an IC title match. I just can't see that.
Like, yeah.
I don't see Gunther as an IC title holder again in this case. So Dom winning it, I can see that happen. Dom winning it. And, you know, we know Cena's old school, man. We know Cena, he's going to, he has no problem taking the fall.
Yeah, you're going to put over who you want. Like,
yeah.
He's there to put over the future. And that's going to be the match where he essentially is putting over the future. You know, you got folks that are complaining how the last time it's now a tournament, how a good chunk of the field were a lot of older wrestlers and not more like the younger ones that are there. And the fact that, you know, all intents and purposes, we're seeing Gunther winning this tournament.
Yes. Right.
And, you know, they're upset that, you know, it's not going to anyone younger, but Gunther's already established.
Yeah.
Not necessarily needed this win, but this is probably a match that Cena wanted. Another, you know, this is another accolade. Like, you know, again, this is one thing, you know, especially with, you know, Triple H era, he loves giving, like, the superstars remain some of his favorites, accolades, on top of accolades. He did it with Bianca, doing it with Stephanie, and he's going to definitely do it with Gunther, and him being the man that retired John Cena, in his final match and defeated him, you know, that will be a big feather in Gunther's cap. I just can't see him going back down to the Intercontinental title after doing that, you know? He's always going to be in the world title picture, you know?
Yeah.
But for Cena here, I digress, putting over the future for him is putting over Dom Mysterio.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
This kid has improved leaps and bounds over the last couple of years.
As
just one of the most charismatic wrestlers on the WWE roster. He single-handedly, just by hard work and determination, has not only made a crowd that booed the ever-loving shit out of him for over a year some change.
Yes.
They managed to cheer for him. Now, you know, for him, just being a dick, it's perfect going into, you know, I guess the final act of, you know, the Judgment Day saga.
Yes.
Where everyone thought that Dom was going to be the heel out of this, he might end up becoming the babyface.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, because in all intents and purposes with the Judgment Day, Finn Balor is the evil henchman.
He's the mastermind. Yes. He's the leader.
Yes. This man, he loves anytime Dom Mysterio gets in trouble. He loves it. He always has a smile on his face, like an evilish grin on his face when Adam Pearce, anytime he gets on Dominic Mysterio's case. I mean, then again, Finn does feel a certain way because didn't Dom have them booked him and JD in the tag title match, which they lost?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. We still didn't. The Judgment Day thing is not going to end until Liv comes back.
Yeah. That's it.
That's simple as that. But the focus on Dom Mysterio, and yes, you're 100% right. It's amazing how this guy can go from crowds all over the place booing the ever living shit out of him for over a year. And like you said, now the crowd is just cheering. But I kid you not, bro. When he won that IC title, or when he won that, yeah, at Mania, man, I'm telling you, when he came out, I remember I was getting some food in the concession stand, and I knew for a fact, like, because I wanted to see this. I wanted to see his entrance and wanted to see how the crowd reacts or whatever. I just had a gut feeling, man, like, the crowd, that's the thing with wrestling fans. Yeah, they boo the shit out of you, but it's boo out of respect because we recognize your character and what the work that you're doing. Like, you're doing your job. You're doing your job.
Yeah.
And the fact, like I said, when he came out, first of all, I could tell you right now, when he came out against Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania 39.
Uh-huh.
Being there for that. When he came out with the whole coming out in the prison thing and with the lucha mask and everything, the crowd ate that shit up completely, man. The crowd was loving it. That whole thing. Like, they were loving that entrance. So, being at 41 and seeing, like, I was in a concession stand when his entrance music came out, man. Yo, the crowd, I heard it. The crowd was cheering like crazy. But when he won that title, and I still remember this. It's when he had hit that frog splash on, I think it was on Bron Breakker, I think it was.
It was on Finn.
Yeah, oh, it was on Finn. You're right. You're right. It was on Finn. Because Finn tried to, yes, you're right. When he hit it on Finn, man, and he had, and that three hit, when the referee hit that three, that pop, man, was ridiculous. Ridiculous, that pop. One of the loudest pops that I heard that night. That I think it was that first night, right? I think it was the first night at Mania that he had won the title, that match. But regardless, the crowd, he had one of the loudest pops of that night.
Uh-huh.
So now we're fast forward, and now we're in San Diego, his hometown. Do you see Ray coming out and try to interfere or anything like that? Or is it just going to be straight up one-on-one? No distractions, no interference between Cena and
unless Judgment Day gets involved, I'm pretty sure Ray's going to keep his distance.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a small sort of a match. This is going to be a Cena classic.
Yeah. I can see Judgment Day getting involved. I can see that. Because it's going to be weird. Rey Mysterio not show up in San Diego. And
we're going to get the overbook finish.
We are. That's regardless, it's going to be a fun match, man. That match. See, but I would not be fine. I mean, I would not be mad with Dom winning, and I'm okay with that being the prediction that Dom wins and retains the IC title back from Cena. And then to the last match, the main event, the men's war game match. And it's a doozy. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, The Usos, and Roman Reigns versus The Vision, which is Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar, man. All-star lineup there. A lot of intertwined stories going on. You have, we know the history with Punk and Lesnar. We also know, Punk
Roman
having his.
Lesnar.
That too. Roman and Lesnar. Cody and Lesnar. hell of a promo Cody did last Friday on SmackDown, though. Hell of a promo. Everything that he said was factual. And he's right as far as Brock. He's like, don't forget, I'm the one that beat your ass the last two times. And we all know Roman, his beef with Division. Roman has a beef. Drew McIntyre and Roman, they got a beef. Drew McIntyre, of course. Drew McIntyre's inclusion in this doesn't surprise, because it's always going to be a beef with Bloodline. Drew McIntyre. The thing that intrigues me, though, is the fact that it's Paul Heyman that recruited him, and Paul Heyman was a guy on the other side with the Bloodline. It's kind of funny that he's okay with that, but I think Drew is like, he doesn't care. He's not suspended. He just wants to beat people up. with Drew. And then you have, the dichotomy with Cody and Punk. They're
and Roman. Just the egos.
And Roman, yes. Those three. And then Roman and the Usos.
Uh-huh.
And Cody and the Usos. How, like, there is just so much. And that's just on one side. And then on the other side, man, like I said, Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, they're going to do, no matter what, Division does what Division wants to do, and they're going to be on Division side. Logan Paul, listen, man, we there's nothing more to say about Logan Paul. He's very good at what he does inside the ring. Simple as that.
Uh-huh.
And this type of match, I'm very intrigued to see how he does in this match, what he does in here, because I can see a couple of spots that's going to involve him. I hope Bronson Reed
elbow.
Does not. Bronson Reed, do not jump off.
Oh yeah,
the top.
He's not going. He's probably going to tease it, but he ain't going to do it.
Nah, we don't. Come on.
you go and tease doing it, but it's not going to be done. Someone's going to stop him from doing it.
Right, right.
He might take a back bump instead. So
Yes. Or he may take a bump. He may be the person that somebody does their high spot on, and he's like laying on the ground or something like that. But yeah. No jumping on.
Jump for the top. Yeah, we'll need to be rebroken again. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all, man. Lesnar, we know what we're going to expect from Lesnar. You know, Lesnar is no surprise. We like him in those matches. It's going to be a lot of
first War Games, so?
It is his first War Games. And also, it is Brock Lesnar's first time teaming up with somebody at the Survivor Series since 2003.
Yeah.
Because all he's at, which was Team Lesnar versus Team Angle. To think about that. You know what? Now that I mention that, let me see who was on that team. I am very curious who was on that team. Like I remember
Team Lesnar? Oh, I think I remember. I can probably get it. It was 5-on-5, right?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so I could probably just do it for the back of my head. All right, it was Brock Lesnar as the captain, Big Show, A-Train, Matt Morgan, and Nathan Jones. Or was it Luther Reigns? Was he in there?
No, it was you're one right. You're right. No, it was Lesnar, Big Show, Matt Morgan, and Nathan Jones. And A-Train.
All right, yeah, see? Yep, got it. H-ray. I was wondering when Luther Reigns came into play. I think he came a little later.
Yes, you know? He did. Yes. And on Team Angle's side, obviously with Kurt Angle, John Cena.
Oh, okay.
Hardcore Holly and Bradshaw, and he who should not be named.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because if you recall, 2003 was a landmark year for he who should not be named that year, especially that Royal Rumble match that he had with Kurt Angle, early in that year. So he hasn't been in the tag team since then, at Survivor Series. Now I know he's been in teams.
Oh, and Cena just turned face, right, with his rapping gimmick.
Yes.
Oh
just,
man.
Yes, because this is November, so yes, he had just turned faces, right.
Oh yeah, that shit started to light up. Yep.
Actually. Hold on a second. 2000, because if he was on Team Angle, he would have been on the heel team.
No. At that time, they were babyface because he initially was on Team Lesnar. He was initially going to be on Team Lesnar, but he talked too much crap about the team and they beat the hell out of him. I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But either way, that was, yes, he was already into his rapping gimmick. He was freshly. I think he had to have been freshly part that rapping gimmick, because if my memory serves me correct, because wasn't it like on the Halloween episode that year? That's when he first did the rapping thing to Stephanie on SmackDown.
Yeah, but I want to say this was at this portion of the year. This had to be like this was in late 2003. So this was he was already part of that gimmick for almost a year at this point.
Was that 2002 that he did that?
Yeah, he started in 2002.
Okay.
And then that's when he got in the feud with Undertaker around that point. And then he had the Brock Lesnar match in 2003 at Backlash. Was it Backlash? Yeah, that's when he had the title opportunity. It was an okay match. And then that's when he was still heel, and then he turned face around Survivor Series. So, yeah.
Interesting. Because I'm just looking at the following events, because he was in the Royal, yeah. Okay. Cause that end of 2003 is a little bit murky from my memory. Like I remember watching it and all this stuff, but that end was a little bit murky. But I think at the time I was just too excited the fact that like I wasn't really paying attention, like I was too focused on WrestleMania 20 happening that following year in March, because I already had the tickets by then for that. So my mind was, 2004, like that year, 2004, I remember like it back of my hand. But that 2003 towards the end, yeah, a little bit murky to memory. But damn, man, that's crazy. That goes to show, man, like
yeah,
the longevity of John Cena. Like, because out of all those guys in that match, if I outside of Lesnar, the only two people like him, I think him and in that match are the only two people that are still wrestling, Lesnar and Cena. Everybody else has retired or, you know, or whatever. Yeah, everybody else is pretty much retired. Or just never really made it any further more, like the Nathan Jones. You know?
Yeah.
Dang, that's crazy. That's crazy. Only two people from that match are still actively wrestling as of today. But back to the match, though. I feel the winner of that. There is something in me that says the babyface wins, but I
there's no way the team is going to win, man.
Yeah. It's
Jimmy Uso's in the match still, y'all. It's an all-star team, but
yeah,
there's a clear fall guy on one team compared to the other.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see how.
And also the other team, the heel team, has Brock Lesnar. I just can't see him losing again at this point.
Now, there's too many distractions happening on the CM Punk and Cody team. Too many distractions, too many egos, too many shit going on, man. And
Roman will blame them for losing, especially when it's one of his cousins that took the fall.
Oh, of course. Are you sure it's not going to be Jimmy instead that could take the fall?
What?
As far as Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, I say Jimmy's going to be the one to take the fall.
Okay. Okay.
Because Jay's still in the tournament at this point. Oh, you know, he still got to focus on that. But that's probably going to also cost him the tournament as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that match. The heels winning. Yeah, it's just too many. Like I said, too much distractions on that team. And I will point out, and I've been saying this for a while, bro. And I've been telling people, do not, like, there's going to come a junction, and it's inevitable, and I think in my mind, where Jay and Roman is going to have to butt heads again. Because as we saw on Raw last night, as of this recording, Roman has sights on the belt again.
Yep.
And we know Jimmy has been big on trying to regain that belt, the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, we don't know which belt Roman was referring to, whether it was, you know, whether it was CM Punk or Cody. I don't know if something in me tells me it's Punk and not Cody. Like the World Heavyweight Championship that he's going to want to go after instead of the Undisputed WWE Championship. And I just say that because I don't think we need another Roman and Cody match for a title. I don't think we need
No.
I sure as hell be up on board for CM Punk and Roman Reigns title match. You know, I'll be on board for that. That's for sure. And I don't know if there's been ever a time where, well, we know that also there's a history between Punk and I guess Roman too. And that goes back a while ago. I mean, you could even make the point that we're approaching that, and we're at the anniversary. I can't remember how many years of the Shield debuting at Survivor Series, I believe.
Yep. Damn, man.
In a CM Punk match against Ryback.
This is 20 years now. It's been over 10 years now.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean,
right?
And to think, you know, if Seth wasn't hurt, he would have been in his spot.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Instead of Logan.
Definitely.
Which is crazy.
Definitely. You know, so there's a lot going on in history between those two there. But the heels, they're going to take this. If the women was the babyface women are going to win, it's going to have to be the heel team for the men, man. And because you got to leave intrigue for Roman and the Usos and everybody else and Cody and Punk. So I think all in all, though, I think these matches are going to be pretty damn good. I would say as far as clock time is concerned regarding the men's match, I can't remember how long the men's match went last year. It looks like it went 41 minutes. So I would expect the same.
Yeah, it's going to go like 50 or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about it, man, this Saturday. Always a good, like I said, big four. And it's going to be nice, Thursday, got NFL games, obviously Thanksgiving. Saturday, we got war games. So got a little, got a nice little schedule there, sports schedule there. Before we get off, bro, I do want to ask you, is there any latest in the soccer stuff that's happening?
Oh, well, I mean, I'll tell you this. My Manchester United, they lost to a 10-man Everton squad the other day.
Yes.
But they've been on a good stretch of form lately. We managed to get a couple of strong victories, under our belt. And we're back into the top half of the table, but that loss was a confusing one. It was a rough one, but yes. What more can we say? We still got a lot to go. It's still a long season, but Everton's a really good side, so kind of hats off to them.
Yes.
Right now, the Champions League is back into action right now. Chelsea dog walk Barcelona, and what I was saying was quite a surprise. But they played a perfect game plan. They were just always on the attack and frustrated Barcelona into having their captain, Ronald Araújo, get a red card. And they were just discombobulated ever since. And I think Chelsea won that 3-0. That's going on. New York, New Jersey, Gotham won the NWSL championship for a second year in a row.
Yay.
Yeah, they beat the Washington Spirit, it's kind of bittersweet because also I believe this is going to be Trini Rodman's last game playing for Washington, as there's going to be multiple suitors across Europe and also in the NWSL that will want her services. And I think she's going to be on the move. I feel like she's probably going to be going to England soon. So, I mean, might as well take advantage of it now and take the opportunity to get that bag. And Trinity, she deserves it, man. She held down DC for a while, carrying the Rodman name, and now she's making it something of her own. And, I can see her, killing it over in the Women's Super League.
Hey, man, I hope she does good, man. I know she made in the Olympics, the previous Summer Olympics, I know she was killing it on there for the women's soccer team, so. So definitely looking forward to how everything goes with her. One last thing I will say, I was able to take a picture with the Premier League Cup.
I saw you with that trip. I was like, oh, man.
In my time in San Francisco, yes. The main
speaker. Did go find some time to join the Brotherhood, bro?
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. But all I could tell you is that the host of the session that was for a conference I went to was about that, about how Microsoft uses their stuff for Premier League. The guy that was speaking, he was a Manchester United fan, and he was sick to his stomach seeing the Liverpool ribbons all over the trophy. So he was very sick, and it's like every time he looked at the trophy, it's like I can see it on his face, like ugh.
I know he's having a good time right now knowing that Liverpool is struggling this season. So
yeah. So it's all good with that. But as always, you could always find us all over the place, all over the social webs. You could find us firstly, you could find this podcast on all podcast streaming platforms. We're talking about Spotify, we're talking about Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, we're talking about Amazon Music, we're on those. You could also find us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, NW NW Bard Podcast. We are also, and it's the same thing on the Blue Sky if you're using Blue Sky. You could also find us on Instagram, No Words Bardcast. Like I said, many ways you can find us, listen to us. So we always appreciative and thank you for everybody that's listening, that's been riding with us this long. Or if you're new, please rate, subscribe, let us know. Feedback, always welcome it. And and like I said, next time that we will speak, we'll see what's going on post Survivor Series, see if any updates has been happening in the NBA Cup and all that stuff. And but again, I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Enjoy time however you do, however you spend it on the holidays. And like I said, again, be careful out there. So with that being said, bro, also going to wish you happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Thank you, brother. Likewise to you.
Appreciate it
as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll catch you a couple of weeks from now. So peace out, everybody.
Peace.